This episode is brought to you by Loot Crate. Loot Crate is a monthly mystery crate for pop culture fans that comes packed with incredible and exclusive collectibles and apparel from your favorite TV shows, movies, games, and more. Each crate costs just €27 and is guaranteed to contain items of over €50 in value. This month's theme is Detective. A puzzling situation, a trail of clues. There are many questions that can only be answered if you investigate. Join us as we salute some of our favorite mystery solvers. This month's crate includes items from franchises such as Batman, Jessica Jones, Stranger Things, and more. If you want this crate, you must have your order in before 9 o'clock Pacific time on the 19th of the month. After that, it's gone. It's gone for good. Go to lootcrate.com/stoneface and use the promo code BADLADS when you're checking out your order to get a couple of euro off and let them know that the lads over here at Stoneface have sent you towards them.
Japan won't settle for anything less.
Both got Japanese flags coming out their cars.
Same banished.
The Emperor demands it.
It's the as of yet untitled Stoneface Production Committee Hour podcast, maybe longer than an hour.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Stoneface Films podcast. My name is John Hosey, your brand creative director at Stoneface Films, and with me, as always, he almost couldn't be here today because he was busy on Curious Cat confessing to where the bodies are buried. It's Mr. David Riley.
Hello, folks.
How you doing, David?
Good, good.
Glad to hear it.
I was going to reference what you just said, but...
Go ahead.
I mean, it was literally what we were talking about just a second ago, so the audience aren't going to know. It's not like, oh, that's from Deep Space Nine.
It was literally from a conversation we were having. Yeah, I had another one, but then I threw it out and was like, well, we're starting strong, guys. It's a strong start to the podcast.
That half hour early start, we're not usually kick off at one.
It kills you.
It's 20 to now. Oh, well, those 20 minutes to wake up.
Yeah, that was a fire entrance, which is incredibly apropos for our guest today. But before I come to them, I'd like to bring in the Falco to our Fox McLeod, Mr. Rob O'Sullivan, the engineer of Sentinel Audio Productions. How are you doing, Rob?
Yeah, not too bad.
Yeah, Lilac Wars, very nice. Lovely.
Great game, haven't played in years.
Listen, we're all familiar.
What was the game?
Lilac Wars. You ever play Lilac Wars? You were not an N64 boy. Star Fox.
No.
Star Fox.
He's the barrel roll kid, right?
Pepe. Was it Pepe? Pepe hair?
He popped up in the corner and was like...
In my head, I was thinking Pepe was the frog purely because of the now racist, iconic frog cartoon.
Richard Spencer got punched a third time.
And glitter bombed.
Boom. Good things coming. Trees.
And it was glitter, so it's the funniest one.
Yeah.
What was the frog's name? Slippy Toad.
The most useless fuck you could have on a space team.
Yeah, Slippy literally Toad just consistently
gross.
Yeah. Did you ever do the old give a lady the old Slippy Toad?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Always.
So when you do a barrel roll. Listen, we'll bring in our guests now. These are two gentlemen we've had on the podcast before. They're some of our favourite people. We hugely enjoy having them on. You know them from their shiny new EP, Fire, released under the name Black Fox Leash, that we highly recommend. Lovely new video for Fire as well. Congratulations, lads.
Thanks, man.
It was very, very good. Directed by yourself, Patrick.
It was, yeah, on the fly.
It was good, man. And I saw the little cameo there at the end. Yeah, it's Patrick and Alex Ryan, the Ryan brothers, ladies and gentlemen. Black Fox Leash. How you doing, guys?
Good, man. Thank you.
Good, man. Good to be back. Thank you for having us.
We are delighted to have you back. Tell us about the EP now, because I was listening to it yesterday. I really, really enjoyed it. It's really good.
Thanks, man.
There's some thundering bass lines going into that fuck off.
Gave the bass a generous mix.
Oh, my God. It's great.
On his work with Andrew, he's repressed.
He's repressed the bass line.
So this is a chance for them to just explode
more
forth.
More power
because,
to you.
You know, Andrew's just like, just the roots and don't fuck around with anybody.
Andrew, classically strict in that regard. I don't know. I've never worked with him.
No. It was just we've been playing music together for obviously some time since we picked up the bass and the guitar.
And is it you singing, Patrick?
It's singing? Both of us.
It's both of you singing. Yeah, and then you had also occasionally backing singers as well.
Yeah, that was Gemma.
Yeah. Oh, really? That was Gemma? Yeah. Right, I didn't know that. From Saint Sister.
Indeed, yeah, my girlfriend, yeah.
The awesome, awesome band that you might hear on Other Voices and so forth.
Mm, indeed.
It's very good. I saw them there the other day.
She's all over it, yeah.
That's fantastic, man.
It's cool, yeah.
It's really, really strong. I really, really liked it. Plus, one of the tracks on that, is it Gundam Suit?
Oh yeah, Wing Zero.
Oh man, great. Very like anyone who has that included in one of their songs, that's the song title of one of the EP. That's a thumbs up.
It's like, a thing. I think
that's a 5-star Spotify rating. I don't know. I'm not on Spotify. Can you rate things?
No.
All right, never mind.
If we go ahead and do more, then we'll be naming every song, or no, every song on a release after one song will be named after a Gundam.
I love it. I love it.
Something maybe so subtly that you won't even know. I love it. It'll be there.
Do New Genesis Evangelion concept album.
That could be cool. Yeah.
Oh yeah, I think Fight Star already did that.
Oh god,
they did. It was called The Grand Unification.
And nobody heard it.
No, yeah. No one here anyway.
Fight Star were class.
Do you remember Fight Star? Who was in Fight Star again?
Charlie Simpson,
man. Charlie Simpson,
etc.
And others. And other boys. Simpson et al. Oh, remember god. The push he had to get into crying? Like it was his PR team were.
And now he's back with Busted.
He's back with Busted, I was
are
about to say.
Just Busted, or are they...
No, because they were...
McBusters. That hideous beast exists.
He had a little solo phase, and then the warehouse containing his CDs burnt down. So he had to go back to
that's
Busted.
That's what he told the insurance.
He smells of petrol ever since. Like he's just Lady Macbeth, but with the smell of petrol.
Oh, my God. Anyway, sure. Look, we normally on the Wednesday Spiritually Tuesday episode, we usually go around the horn, discuss how our weeks have been. Rob, what's your week been like? What have you been up to?
Just getting my brain back in order after we took that break. Starting to get back into a routine because my routine fell apart.
Fair enough. We had a good ep last week. I enjoyed that episode a lot. Yeah,
yeah.
That was a good, lot of fun.
Friday's episode.
No pressure, boys. No pressure.
Friday's episode was just. It was a very beautiful lecture.
I enjoyed that a lot, yeah. Davey, what's you been up to? What's your week been like?
Writing. Just, I realised that it's middle of April and I should start working on my show. So
when's Edinburgh again? August?
August. But last year I started writing in May.
Right.
So this year's like, I've got loads of time. I didn't start till May last year. And I'm like, oh, fuck, okay.
It's the second week of April.
Yeah. Need to get on that.
Well, good for you, man.
Went to cinema twice, though, which, Mark's productivity.
So
what did you see?
Free Fire, and Get Out. Ben Wheater, and then Get Out.
Yeah. How is Free Fire, actually? I was going to go see that the other day, and then
good.
I didn't. Donna's eyes started hurting, so we couldn't go to the cinema.
Yeah, it really hurt them. It's a lot. It's just like an hour and a half gunfight.
And it's all one location, right?
Yeah.
Well, you see, this is something that fascinates me, as you know, so I'm excited to go and see
it's
that.
It's the
Ra. Look, the big two.
Yeah, it's good. It's enjoyable. I preferred High Rise, Ben Wheater's last film.
Right.
Have you seen High Rise?
I haven't seen it.
Tom Hiddleston.
I haven't seen it.
Oh, it's so good. Then Get Out is the best film I've seen in the last 12 months, certainly.
Wow.
It is superb.
I will check it out because I still haven't seen it, but I certainly will. Lads, what's your week been like? What have you been up to?
We've been playing a lot of...
Playing a lot of Rocket League, man.
Rocket League.
With you.
Yeah, at least some of the time with me.
You know how our week
was. God, shite the other night,
you and your brother.
I was shocking the other night.
That's all right, man.
Oh, my God.
We did all right, though.
Well, scraped some wins.
Well, it was chaotic. You see, his four-player. It's a different beast.
That was Tuesday night.
That was Tuesday night,
then Wednesday afternoon, I come home, John's like, chaotic. Just Rocket League chaotic. Like he'd been in Nam. Like it was just...
See, I need a bit of space
beast.
To play.
The four players is
I'm
a lot
I'm a
lot
ticky-tacky boy. Like, I'm all tricks and scoops, you know what I mean? And either with chaotic, you're just getting rammed left and right.
There are so few opportunities here. It's tough.
Lads are playing, if you to coin a phrase, lads are playing cuntball. Like, so just getting knocked about like nobody's business.
Absolutely, yeah. So there's been a lot of that going on.
God damn, yous are very good at Rocket League, actually.
I don't know, man. There's ways to go.
Yeah, Tommy as well. Tommy's very, very Tommy's tasty. Good. As well, he's a tasty little aerial.
Tommy handy at it.
Tommy's very handy.
He loves the jumps. He'll always
he's
be in
mad
the air.
For the aerials.
Yeah, yeah. He's a good jumper. Yeah.
Have you played any of the new version actually, which is the
drop ball? Is it?
Yeah, drop ball.
I haven't played it. No,
it's not bad. It's basically like it's sort of like Breakout on a two-dimensional plane, which I know is a really bad example because Breakout itself is on a two-dimensional plane. Remember Breakout? It's like Pong, but all of the top of the screen is like little squares or little rectangles that you have to hit a couple
so
of times and then they disappear.
Yeah.
Exactly. I believe that was called Breakout.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's basically that along a two-dimensional plane on the ground and you're knocking them down and then have to make sort of holes in the ground and the other
side of the pitch and then try and get them through those holes. It's a very interesting little thing, because you wouldn't have been able to do that with any... It's clever, like, it's a very clever little game. It's a pain in the arse, though. It's a pure pain in the arse. These lads are unbelievable. Can we talk? If you don't want to talk about this, I completely understand. We'll move right on. But goddamn, Rocket League Bannisdoor is possibly the greatest thing.
There have been a lot of lads who have been hit with phrases, you know, in the text box that have no clue what is being said.
Because I have them all pre-programmed at this stage.
So you've got them coming up on like four keystrokes, and you'll have like a six-word sentence.
But these lads as well, unbelievable. Michael's here, lads? What was it?
Daniel is here.
Daniel is here.
What is it? Repeatedly screaming, Daniel is here.
There's this mad video of this sort of middle-aged old Irish woman who reacts to Daniel O'Donnell coming into her gaff. Have you guys seen that?
Oh, no.
And she's just freaking the fuck out. And she goes, he's here. Daniel is here. And she's just going crazy.
Is that like one of those, I'm going to surprise my mum, I've been in Australia for 2 years, one of those kind of
it's
videos?
It's a surprise, anyway.
Daniel O'Donnell.
Unbelievable.
A little bit less exciting, yeah. But we just we got really into that, and then we just started using it as a sort of bizarre taunt. So if we score a goal, we just go, after the first goal, we just go, he's here. And then get the other one in, Daniel is here. Just ridiculous shit.
But there's not the Bannisdoor is like you take, you know, the one of the lads who like the Kerry GAA, and you'd put him into Rocket League. So he'd be like, lads, you won't be bringing the Sam home to the county with that kind of play. Lads don't want it. You need the goal, lads. You need the goal. There's 20 seconds left. Get the goal.
From the line. Goes in against us.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, you fucked it, lads.
Afraid to go that next step.
Just channeling Pat's plan.
Exactly.
Oh my god. But like this.
And when
going.
You score, it's like you just type in, Das Ga, lads. It's spelled D-A-S-G-A-A, lads. Like, people have no clue what
you can pay in some Venezuelan kids, like, what the fuck is happening?
Come on.
It's actually unbelievable. And what's really impressive about it is these lads will keep that up. Like, they will stay in character. Because we're not in the same room. Like, we've got the phone with loudspeaker on.
Right.
Going to their gaff. And it will just non-stop Rocket League Bannisdoor for like an hour and a half.
Two of them, yeah.
It's unbelievable. It's actually unbelievable.
That's great, because then when you're playing, you just have the voice shouting at you like you're on the pitch.
It works very well. It works very, very well.
You just get the bibs.
Most of them broken. Not really fitting. Yeah.
Tug out, lads.
Tug off, lads.
This is great. This is combining my love of video games with my love of rural Irish sporting traditions. This is perfect.
Do you know what, actually, talking about video games, do you know what I got really, and this, I mean, this isn't what I've been doing all this week, but for at least some of it. Do you guys ever play XCOM? You ever play a game called XCOM? So XCOM 2, I love and I finished, but then the mod for Long War 2 came out, which is like this huge overhaul of the whole thing, and Long War 1 for XCOM, the first XCOM game, not the first XCOM game, but you know what I mean, after the reboot. Was like a huge, totally different update. And then the lads who make it for Axis, I think, is it for Axis or I can't remember anyway, they hired them to make a mod for the next one. So they have like resources and stuff. And it's a complete overhaul of XCOM 2, where it's like a guerrilla war rather than whatever it is in XCOM 2. And it's very sort of fly by night, and you have to get in and get out. And it's really, really, really hard. But you can have like up to 12 lads in your squad at any time, as opposed to what it was previously, I think 6. So I've been playing a huge amount of XCOM 2. Yous are all in it, because every time I play XCOM, I can't play XCOM with just like Stevie G from, well, that's a bad example, because that would have been a Liverpool starting 11, which actually isn't a bad idea for actually an XCOM
like
squad.
Frank Johansson.
Ribery. I just make, and particularly with Longmore, because there's such big, you need to send out squads and they have to infiltrate and you have to leave them there, and then you have to send out other squads to other things. It's all very, or much more organizational.
And when they're dead, they're dead.
Mm. So this one with Longmore in particular, I have just made And I love making people I know and putting them in video games. It's like my favorite thing, like Rock Band or like NHL making hockey teams out of everyone.
Yeah.
But like every fucker I've ever met is now in Modern Warfare 2. It's really, really strong. Rob, you're now supervising the resistance on the Eastern Seaboard of the US.
I mean,
congratulations.
Probably a logistical role would probably be my best. I'd be terrible at cardio, so.
You're actually quite nippy. And you know what? Oddly enough, Owen Courtney is fucking marathon man. He can run for days. I don't know what happened. Breffney, though, 4 feet and he's knackered. Just weird. Because there's more random like attributes. It's much wider now. And then you just sort of, it's randomly rolled. So yeah.
Any big casualties?
Not so far. Owen took one to the chops there last night, but I never usually very good. I never scum save usually, but long war you got a scum save. You lads are doing all right. You're a sniper.
Oh, cool, good.
You're a sniper. I think you're a heavy weapons, Patrick. You're doing all right. I didn't know whether to put yous down. Yeah, I didn't know whether to put yous down as Ireland or England in the when you get the flag thing. So I thought I'd follow your Rocket League example. So you're both repping Japan.
Pretty good.
Riding for Nihon.
Excellent stuff. Actually, speaking of the, I played
Japan won't settle for anything less.
Both got Japanese flags coming out their cars.
Same banner story.
The Emperor demands it.
Jesus.
I must say I was turned off the first XCOM by the accents, man. The accents drove
the
me crazy.
Are dreadful, yeah.
It's a pretty shit reason to not play a game.
There
to be
is
fair,
a decent mod for an international voice pack.
Mm.
And when I was trying to get into voice acting like a year ago, I'm gonna get back onto them because I emailed them. They were looking for voice actors to do different nationalities and stuff. I was like, I'll do Ireland, lads, be grand, because I'd love to be in XCOM, like that'd be fucking great. And then I just never got back to them because I'm useless. But I must get back to them now because I'm trying to get back into voice acting. So yeah, that'd be a good crack. But
don't narrow your range into Ireland. Like, try to be like, right, where are they
not
doing? Where are they not going to get people in?
But they've got Irish flags.
Yeah,
and they've not got. They've got actually. They've got a Northern Irish accent.
Throw in flags.
Almost
too.
Everyone. Yeah, UK.
This
UK
is the new
English,
the new game. No. The
UK new English game, 3 is Nordy. UK English 4 is Scottish.
Throw so in for so. Those as well. Throw in for Northern Ireland. Don't just apply. Hey, can I do the Irish flag? Be like,
I'll do
don't
Irish
have anyone,
and Russian. Lads,
you don't have anyone from. Yemen thrown in. I'll do the Yemenis.
But yeah, be grand.
Show off your range.
I don't know how much range I have. I have
whatever. The
slightly gravelier than my regular voice and my regular
the
voice.
The range of the dart from Newcastle to Greystones to Dublin. Anywhere within the greater Dublin region.
Basically, you're describing Bray. Bray. Yeah, no, it's good, man. I enjoy it a lot.
It is a nice game.
I love a turn-based strategy. I love yeah, something that you don't have to pause, that you can just leave for ages and come back to.
Which a is, game you don't have to play, John.
Yeah, exactly. I like it a lot.
Leave it a game.
It's barely a game.
Everything about games is not playing them.
Oh, I love it.
But
I love a turn-based strategy.
It has to have been coded.
Spending money.
That's my problem with like a Europa Universalis, like all the Paradox games, like the Hearts of Iron and stuff. So there's no pause. It just keeps creeping on slowly.
Yeah, but to really get into those games, you kind of have to know nobody in the world.
That's true.
This is my world.
I tell you what, Alex and I are playing at the moment is a Japanese RPG called Tales of Berseria. Do you know the Tales series? They did the
Tales of Symphonia.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Which is awesome. This is a new one for the PS4, but we recently discovered. So it's like the general Japanese RPG.
Is that sort of, hold on now, is that the one that's sort of like World War I-y?
No,
okay.
Not
I'm thinking of something else.
World War I with like angels and dragons.
Right.
Valkyria Chronicles.
Yes, I am. Yes,
that's
I
a
am.
Game also.
I have that on my PC and I've installed it and I've never played it.
Get on it.
Yeah,
the gameplay is.
Yeah, it's like a semi turn based World War I, but done by Japan, sort of. Anyway, sorry. Go ahead. Chronicles of
Tales of Berseria.
Them as well.
But we found this. We got this. You can put, like, you can deck your lads out in different outfits and stuff like that. And we just recently, like, put all our team in aviator sunglasses. So there's, like, mages and kind of, like,
a little kid, like
samurais and stuff. Mage. And they've all got, like, aviators.
Gold-rimmed fucking aviators.
And it carries through in all the cutscenes. So they're going through this fucking heavy shit, like, portals to hell open. And they're just standing there with fucking
looking ready, man.
Yeah, yeah.
Beautiful.
Reflective aviators on.
Go for it.
Once again, guys, just want to mention our wonderful sponsors, Loot Crate. Loot Crate, of course, the monthly mystery crate for pop culture fans that contains all sorts of fun items, collectibles, apparels from everyone's favorite franchises. You get over €50 worth of items, all for the low, low price of just €27. Every month has a different theme. Previous themes have included magic, primal, you know, surveillance. This month's theme is a detective, puzzling situation, a trail of clues. There are many questions that can only be answered if you investigate. Join us as we salute some of our favorite mystery solvers. You know, this month's crate is going to include some cool stuff from the likes of Batman, Jessica Jones, The X-Files, Stranger Things, all of the coolest, snoopiest people. Snoopiest meaning detective rather than dogs that lie on the roof of doghouses. To get your order in, go to lootcrate.com/stoneface. Use the promo code BADLADS to get a couple of euro off. And it lets them know that your pals in Dublin have sent some business their way. In addition to offering you a couple of euro off your first order, if you take a screenshot, send it in to us as proof that you have signed up for Loot Crate using the Bad Lads promo code, the one and only John Hosier Byrne will write you a custom poem. There's no quality assurance, no checks and balances done, no poetry degrees referenced. This is very much 8 Mile style poetry.
Like everything I do.
Yeah. Bad Lads, guys. Use the promo code Bad Lads. It's short for bad at poetry, lads. Bad Lads. Loot Crate.
Loot Crate.
Loot Crate. It's giving you options. John said add flavor. Ooh, Loot Crate. Teriyaki flavor. Like, what's where you...
You lads in XCOM, you're all in a very nice, you've got like a red trim sort of mech suit thing.
Okay.
With, or a red with like white trim. I thought, you know, mirror the Japanese flag.
Very good.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah.
How big are the mech suits? Are they like...
Well, the mech suits, do you know what? In XCOM 1, they had
Gundam
proper
mech suits.
They had proper ones. Now they're sort of not as much. They're not as good.
They're like...
In XCOM 1, in the expansion...
Bean cans with some strings coming out of it.
I didn't know, because in XCOM 1... There was like a thing was like, oh, prepare this. You could build like a little room, which was like prepare your soldier for mech suits, right? And I can't remember what they called it, but I was like, absolutely, yeah. So I put Calva and Killian and Lonzo in to get mech suited. And then the cutscene ends, and they've taken off all their limbs because
they need
to slot into the mech suit. And I was like, oh, sorry, Killian, I've taken off all your limbs by accident. Yeah, there you go.
40K.
Every time I play David, you end up being the lad with the drone. No matter what, I always play with you.
Never goes well.
You always are the dude who has the wee drone thing and hacks things remotely every single time. It's weird.
Can only go badly.
Yeah,
because of your computer science degree.
That's clearly, yeah.
Yeah, must be it.
I was only saying it like... there's an ad back on TV, a credit union one, and it's like, oh, I went for the showing off to my neighbor loan kind of
right.
thing, and it's, but I auditioned for it, and I was like, they sent like, these are the examples, and I was like, oh, but we'd appreciate it if you brought in your own ones, and I was like, okay, so I think, and I went like, I'll bring my drone in, and I'll make like, oh, I got this loan to like, pretty much like, show off to the neighboring kid, like, hey prick, I've got money, I can buy a real fancy thing. So I was in the audition and we were paired off, so I was with the guy, some other guy, so we did his thing, it's fine, and then I had to like be like, okay, this is mine, blah blah, and then I had my drone and I went to fly it in a ceiling that is like, not a high ceiling, like low.
It's also worth saying, David, like, we've flown drones a decent amount.
Yeah.
I hope you won't be insulted when I say you're not good at flying drones.
No, I need to be outdoors and well outdoors.
Like, you put one directly into an electrical wire.
Yeah, and then, yeah.
That was the USS Jack O'Neill.
That was the end of that one. So this is like a week before that. It was like, okay, I'll just fly it in the audition. And it flew, it hovered, and then it just flew up, hit the light, spun, landed on the propellers, and just kept like that horrible drilling noise. And I just picked it up and was like, oh, it's being you. And it just, that was it. That was the, I've never even got a donation for anything else off them.
Actually, our Patreon listeners will know exactly
They've seen
Lindy Baby.
Yeah. But yeah, then I flew into some power lines near our house. And after you turn it off, it'd still fly for a little bit. So
it just crackles with the light.
So
the spirit of Jack O'Neill.
Yeah. Yeah, they were showing that was too close to being sentient. That it was, it flew into power lines, and then it just that's too much like a bad Stephen King novel.
It's like Ghost Dad, but with drones.
Yeah,
yeah.
Bill Cosby's in
your drone.
He's done enough damage. He doesn't need propeller blades.
Ah, Jesus.
That took a dark turn.
Yeah, flying.
We went bowling.
We did go bowling. We went bowling in
Friday.
On Friday in the Leisureplex, because purportedly, rumor has it, it's closing down and being, but thing of flats are being put up on it.
Hey, who don't like that being brought up? The staff.
The staff. I was like, here, is this closing down? They're like, no, we've heard nothing. They're like, all right, best of luck, lads. Planning permission's been sought. So yeah. Good luck. They're like, no, we're staying here forever. I'm like, okay, cool. Good for you. But yeah, no, I fucking hate bowling.
We played a pool first, but it was pool on a snooker table.
Yeah.
So immediately it doesn't count.
And also, we split into teams.
Yeah, we went. We're like, oh, there's six of us. We went 3-on-3, and I jokingly was like, oh, Gerard's versus the rest. Yeah. And that was the worst idea, because they were like, we had a pool table in our common room. I was like, you had a common room? Like, that was enough of a... So it was John Calva and Sophie Pigott, and we just got destroyed.
Sophie Pigott, next guest in the show next week, so look out for that.
The bowling alleys in the Leisureplex are fucked up. Yeah. They're from lads flinging themselves down.
Well, it's
overarm throws.
Because Calvin had a few whiskies at that stage, and he started... Just, I don't know if he'd appreciate us saying this, but he just started shouting death or glory and fucking it. Because Calva's a built lad, and he just started throwing it, maybe two-thirds of the way down the bowling lane.
Like, it'd be like...
Like, it sailed. And then just the casual smile on his face, I did that, lads.
And then when he was leaving, put on his normal shoes, put on, a pair of desert boots, and was like, I'll just do one more. And threw, because they weren't... The thing was so slippy. He just ended up fucking himself halfway down the lane and then didn't realise, but he ripped the entire gooch out of his trousers and didn't realise till he got home.
Yeah, so then he did the classic Calva, which is he does the Irish goodbye. He won't say anything. And no one else will get away with it except Calva. Calva's just...
Also, he spiked
reason.
Your drink six times.
Yeah, he this is
your friend.
This is my friend, the doctor, right? And he, yeah, I was having gin and tonic, and he just kept pouring when I wasn't looking when I was taking a bowl.
Hold this, I just go. This is my go.
My bowl. Yeah. He was just filling it up with Jameson on top of the gin and tonic. And I was sipping away like a fool, not noticing.
But the colour was the colour of this table.
Yeah,
it's
the cigarettes, man. They just ruin the old taste buds. It's the thing in black books. What are you eating? Some delicious biscuit, and it's a coaster. So I got quite drunk because he was spiking my drink, and then he does the Irish goodbye. He just doesn't say goodbye to anyone. He walks out and leaves, and we get a message later on, being like, one of you could have told me, and a photograph of his crotch, just all his literal just. All his gentleman's
PhD.
Area
yeah.
just falling out of his trousers. And there's effectively no trousers anymore.
Then we watched a bunch of fighting.
Actually, yeah, I was outside then with Sophie. Sophie had her van. Mm. And a couple of drunk girls came up to us like, you stole my van to me, because that van was similar to someone else's van. And they were adamant that I'd stole their van. And it wasn't even my van. So I was like, yeah, I did. And then they drove away. So yeah, that was a good crack.
It's good if they credited you with looking like you had the ability to steal a van.
I appreciate it. Yeah, and then we watched a rake of fighting. Do you guys
watch UFC?
UFC, we watched, Owen was over.
T-10 was the weekend, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Did
you catch that, John?
I didn't know, actually, no.
Interesting man. Interesting
was it Cormier?
Cormier, yeah.
Cormier and someone else?
Anthony Rumble Johnson.
Who won?
Indeed. Cormier won, and Rumble retired, actually. After the fight, yeah, which was interesting.
Really?
Yeah,
our mate Owen has the fight pass, so... Mm. We were just like, oh, look at this fight. I'm just watching like old Elite XC stuff.
Fight Pass is good.
It was really good, actually, yeah. And then I really wanted to watch an Artem Lobov fight.
Yeah, I love Artem Lobov. Cub Swanson, doesn't it? When is he fighting?
That's not too long away now.
We watched Cub Swanson first. Owen's big hit and was like, Cub's going to walk through Artie. He's going to walk through. Just like, Artie has him. Artie's going to... He's gonna, show him the Russian hammer, and he put on this fight. It was Cub Swanson versus
the Korean lad.
Oh my Christ,
man!
Korean Superboy.
Yeah.
Holy fuck!
It was unbelievable.
Not the zombie.
Yeah. No, that one. Zombie, the fight where he's swinging from his grandma.
Oh yeah.
As Dark Lord Rogan claims.
Dark Lord Rogan. I think I tried to explain Dark Lord Rogan on the podcast before, and it didn't come across as anything that made any sense.
You need to be aware.
The bloodlust.
The bloodlust of Dark Lord Rogan. Yeah.
Barely contained.
They strap him under the ring, and then they ring the mat of all the blood and sweat and just. Onto him, satiated for another month.
He's got another month of podcasts.
You ever notice every UFC event lines up with the lunar cycle?
He's not going bald. He's just slowly becoming more of a baby. Like he's just his hair is growing in.
How good would that be as like a cabin in the woods? If you did like a cabin in the woods film about how all UFCs.
Oh my god!
It's about funneling blood to
Joe
Rogan.
That's who Sigourney Weaver was afraid of. Was Joe Rogan?
That's
Joe Rogan's hand comes up out of the.
They've got a cool thing where at his commentary table, what he does is he actually, after every fight, he just leans back and then he rolls onto the table and straight under the ring and just. And then they can very quickly roll him back and then he just props back up and he's straight back into commentating.
Oh, God
he
almighty.
He runs his back like that. like Dracula.
Can't wait until eventually he shows up wearing a patchwork jacket that's just all of the blood-stained bits of canvas that have been... He cuts them out.
Like Ed Gein the jacket out of it.
Ed Gein's a whole like three-piece suit out of just bloody bits of canvas that he's... He's got his like tailor shears in his pocket.
Lampshades.
Yeah.
Still wearing it at the Joe Rogan Experience. Pictured at Jimi Hendrix behind him. He's talking to Amy Schumer.
With his acolyte Dana White, who fixes sacrifices for him.
Oh yeah. Crawls back inside the husked out body of Emilio Scarborough. Lives in him.
But yeah, so we watched that fight, the Cub Swanson fight against Korean.
Good stuff, isn't it?
It was an unbelievable fight. It was actually an unbelievable fight. And then we watched Artie versus. The Nick Diaz protege. It was so bad, and it was such a grim point.
Who wins that fight?
Artie on points.
It was before one of McGregor's. 189.
Second fight against Diaz, I think.
First fight against Diaz.
Yeah.
Right, 196 was it?
Yeah, it was a rough going. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how that pans out anyway.
For sure.
Because we were like, man, this Korean dude's going to get his ass handed to him. Because he just is this fresh-faced boy.
He kind of does, but he throws some bombs himself.
He can take a serious amount of damage.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
We liked how his Twitter handle is Korea and Superboy 7. And 1 through 6 are available. I went and checked. They're there. 8 is available, too. Like, he...
I wonder, is 7, we were discussing, is 7 a lucky number in Korea, perhaps? Is that a thing?
Yeah, it could be,
Like 8 is a big deal in China.
Yeah.
Anyway, sure, look, who knows?
And I love that it went Superboy instead of Superman.
I love the way they call it, like, the Korean zombie. It's just known as, like, he's on the card as Korean zombie.
Yeah.
It has no name.
Yeah.
Like, the event is Korean zombie versus whoever.
Polish zombie. Polish zombie.
It's the two zombies.
What's his name, Warczek?
He was an Ultimate Fighter.
Covered in blood.
Oh, yeah.
He was good crack.
They should just have a Halloween theme on anyone who's got zombie in their name or beast.
there was a great nickname. Was it called Chris Fields, I think, was the name of the fighter. Certainly Fields, right? I think it was Chris Fields. Yeah. But his original nickname was Chris the Killing Fields.
Oh, very good.
Which is very, very nice. And then he changed his nickname recently to Chris the Housewife's Choice Fields, which is such a step backwards. Like, that doesn't even make sense.
No, that's a tagline.
Doesn't have relevance in the ring, man. Doesn't have relevance in the ring.
The Killing Fields is an unbelievable nickname. Like,
maybe someone explained what it was.
Mm. Dana White supposedly calls Conor McGregor the unicorn. There you go.
Why?
I don't think it's because it's like he's
a magic
one
boy.
In a
he makes money. He's magic money boy.
Yeah, magic money boy.
Beautiful magic money.
My little money baby.
There's a new season of The Ultimate Fighter coming soon.
I must check that out.
April 18th
and 19th. I haven't seen nearly enough of them. I've watched the one with Conor McGregor twice. it's great.
And the Kimbo Slice season.
Rest
in peace.
You've seen the one with Rampage Jackson. You've seen that fight.
Rashad Evans. Yeah. That one. That's really good, actually.
With Abe, man. The bloodiest fight.
Abe.
Yeah. That was what turned me onto it. That was the first thing. I don't want to.
Did they make any Abe's Odyssey jokes today? That should have been the episode.
You certainly went on one.
Yeah, that was the first thing of UFC Andrew had ever seen. It was like, sit down, we need to watch this. Like, look at this accountant now, this lad in IT. He's like, I really think I have the edge because I have another job. Like, this isn't my only option. I have a job to go back to, so I have that security, and I think that's what gives me the edge. And then it cuts to the other dude, and he's like, I've been living in boxcars for 30 years. It was brutal.
The size of the cut on the man's, you can see his skull.
It was
it's
the bloodiest fight I've ever seen.
I was watching some UFC 1 through 3 last night, mm-hmm. when there was no time limit or judges or point system.
All right.
It's a better time, man.
No time limit.
No time limit. All fights in the one night. 16 fighters. Ultimate fight.
Just all knockouts. Like event ultimate or submissions.
Submissions, knockouts, or your
death.
Someone throws in the towel.
Yeah.
Like there's I say great video for not for one of the people, and they're sort of lying in a cross, sort of like in a crucifix, mm-hmm. sort of. Your man is just fucking leveling his dick with punches. Like maybe 15, 20 boxes in the dick before the ref's like, that's successful. Like it's just like, bam, 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 bam. You think your man tap. God. It's like submission due to punches. It's
punches
because
in the dick. Bruce Buffer doing that. No contest due to punches in the dick.
There's a guy, Fred Edish, was only in it. He was in UFC 2. And he's a karate guy, but like, he's against when someone gets injured, like a substitute, like a
right
he was just
understudy,
an alternate, so mm-hmm. he was just there in case anyone gets injured, which was very likely to happen because they were fighting three times a night,
because you fight until you're injured.
Yeah, pretty much. But your man Fred Edish is then like drafted in, and he's in his like full karate gi, like he's in the full thing, and just gets fucking annihilated. Like, just gets destroyed. Little mustache. He just looks like
older brother from Napoleon Dynamite.
I was thinking the Dojo from Napoleon Dynamite. Breaking a board.
Right. He's doing his keys. He's doing his...
Oh, yeah. And he just
he's doing his full kata before the match. Like.
Because it's just like, this guy's real good at BJJ. This guy's a karate guy. Fight until one of you can't fight anymore.
Jesus.
Perfect.
It's rough
all
stuff.
Run off in a night.
Glory days.
60 grand for the winner, nothing for anyone else.
Was there weight classes back then?
Nope.
Oh my God.
God.
That's unbelievable.
No weight classes, no judges, no.
That's horrific. We should watch them.
Sounds fucking great, man.
Yeah.
It sounds like, in theory, when a mutual friend of ours, who I won't mention who it is, but we all know who it is, was like, John, you really have to watch Japanese insect fighting. Yeah, have to get into Japanese insect fighting. So we had a few drinks, and he was like, this is the time now, here we go, Japanese insect fighting. It just made me the most profoundly sad I've ever been. Like,
yeah, at least when it's humans fighting, you're like,
they made a choice.
Will.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was very grim. Oh, well, there we go.
It's so good. Yeah, you should watch it. It was set up by one of the Gracies. The UFC was founded by, like, Papa Gracie.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Of which Gracie? Of the Gracies?
The guys who invented BJJ.
Oh, right.
So then his son won the first.
Oh. And they're from Bray?
Yeah.
All right. Grant. Oh, dear, oh, dear, oh, dear.
Bray JJ.
Bray JJ.
Hey, guys, this is Rob here, and I just wanted to let you know that my brand new album,
All Things Must Pass by the Cooper Church Amendment has now been released online after 9 months. So if you want to check it out, check out my Twitter. I've got the links on there. Or if you want to go directly to thecooperchurchamendment.bandcamp.com, you can listen to it for free on there. Or if you want to support some Irish music, you know, throw a few quid towards. It's only €7. And I really hope that you guys enjoy.
We take some questions from the listeners.
Can I ask a question?
Go right ahead.
Has anyone ever had a syrup sandwich?
No, but it's mentioned. Kendrick mentions it in Humble.
I'm like, I remember people eating sugar sandwiches as a kid.
Probably the same.
That was a big thing in school.
Syrup sandwiches. Yeah.
Sugared bread, yeah. Is that what it is?
I don't know. I've had honey on bread before, so it's similar.
Yeah, it's just a syrup sandwich. Sounds great. I don't know why he's like, I remember when I used to have to do that. You're like, why
Kendrick,
you not?
You have lots of money now. You can buy all of the syrup.
You can buy really good syrup.
He was
talking literally, was he not? It wasn't a euphemism. Well,
there's no metaphor. There's no depth in Kendrick.
No, I think he was like, yeah.
I like syrup sandwiches.
When I say syrup sandwich,
I mean syrup sandwiches.
Lions on bread.
Joe's mad one, actually. Because normally I'm finished an hour before I have to be here, right? Yeah. So I have a bit of time to kill. And I've sort of taken to, when I walk up, I walk past where the Molly Malone statue is now, where there's like the tourist information thing. And there's always someone with a map out arguing with their significant other, like every single time I come up. And so I have like some time to kill. So I ask them if they need directions. Most weeks it happens. And today was the oddest one. There was two older, middle-aged American women. And I was like, oh, are you looking for... Because they were arguing over a map. I was like, are you trying to find somewhere? And they were like, actually, it's not where we're trying to find. It's what we're trying to find.
I was like, you're going to say when.
What year is it?
She goes, we're looking for coddle. And I was like, do you know what coddle is like? And they're like, yeah. It's like, and you want to try coddle? Like, have you ever tried coddle?
No. Coddle, man. What is it?
Coddle's a Dublin thing. It's
awful.
It's sausages and bacon boiled.
Boiled like sausages. It's
peasant leftover soup.
It's real muck. Like, it's real salty boiled meat. Like, it's fucking disgusting.
And they had a map.
Yeah, it was just like Temple Bar. If you're going to find it anywhere, you'll find it.
The coddle map.
The coddle map.
Yeah. They're in for a shite day now.
Oh, yeah, it just looks like a bunch of fingers floating because the sausages don't...
They don't cook properly.
No, they boiled.
They boiled.
So they stay pink.
Jesus. And they were like, oh, we've got to get a flight later and we really want to get coddle before we go. It's on my bucket list. It's on my bucket list, she says.
Oh,
good Lord.
I hope like shitting for the entire duration of an airplane ride is on her bucket list.
Highly unimpressive bucket list, no doubt.
It's such a lack of ambition. Why don't we spoil sausages?
There's one thing on it.
Sausages.
One item.
But yeah, anyway, you're right, David. They will be shitting all the way back to the continental US now.
Like, oh, we can knock the engine off. Someone's propelling us from the back there. Just dumping sausages across the Atlantic.
Jesus Christ. Here, there's the curious cat is up, ladies and gentlemen. If you have any questions for the podcast, feel free to... CuriousCatUs@StonefaceFilms.
CuriousCat.me/StonefaceFilms.
Yes.
Here you go, David.
Oh, cool. Okay, well, here's a good one to start with. From Shelley Umlau asks, what is the best movie soundtrack ever?
Oh, that's a good one, lads. You want to jump in with this?
The best.
I'd rate your opinion over my own now.
There is a Korean film called Memories of Murder. South Korean film.
Wow.
From 2003. It's excellent. And the soundtrack is... just perfect. Just enhances the film. Is in it's good of its own right. It's just that is the best.
Cool.
It kicks in straight away, and you know it's good from the first opening scene where they bring it in. It continues all the way through.
I don't know if it's necessarily the best, but one that I like became obsessed with and listened to. Because I'm not a huge music dude, but like I listened to this repeatedly. Was the theme tune or the whatever OST to Django Unchained. Yeah, just because it's got some absolute bangers on it.
Totally. I think of late, The Hateful Eight is killer stuff as well.
Really, really strong. Yeah.
The soundtrack to Superfly.
It's a good one.
It's the
soundtrack to Shaft. Very good.
The soundtrack to Superfly is the first, if not only, soundtrack that has made more money than the movie it was the soundtrack to.
Oh, wow. Really?
Yeah. The whole thing is just Curtis Mayfield.
Supposedly last week, according to the internet,
yeah, but reliable.
The producers of Spinal Tap were told that through whatever weird means of, you know how studios and money, it's a weird, how it works, but it's a very, very unnecessarily complex system. But the over 33 years, the soundtrack to Spinal Tap accrued $98 in royalties.
Yeah, wow. Yeah, I think I'm in. And Harry Shearer is taking them to task with it, I think.
Is that right? Yeah,
yeah, I believe so, yeah.
Hang on, he wants the $98.
Yeah, man. I don't know the details of it, but he's definitely...
Why did you not look after this better so that we would have made more money?
Yeah, yeah.
Rob, soundtrack?
The soundtrack to Sunshine is incredible. John Murphy.
Oh, yeah, it's good stuff. Composer,
so. That's a very underrated film in and of itself.
I love it.
Mm.
The last 10 minutes go a bit silly, but... It just turns into, it
goes from a space mission to like a serial killer.
Yeah, film. It's great. No, but the soundtrack just again enhances the thing very so cool. much mm. that it's
perhaps an obvious beautiful. One as well. But Koi and Sequatsi,
Philip Glass.
Philip Glass soundtrack is deadly.
Brilliant.
Yeah, I really like that.
Really like Watchmen, the Leonard Cohen. Leonard Cohen.
No, that's good. Actually, the Watchmen has a lovely one. Yeah,
is the worst.
What's the one? Yeah. Super. Yeah.
They banged a Hallelujah, and it's horrible.
Yeah.
I think they used a lot of a very expensive music budget
they
on
did,
that.
Yeah.
Well, Schneider knows no limits. I mean,
no, he doesn't. He doesn't.
Times
he literally knows no limits.
Schneider.
You know what's cool if we put it in like slow motion. And then go even slower. Like in the same shot. Like
someone cool. said to me that there's an edit of 300 online where they sped it back up to a normal pace.
What, 18 minutes.
Film's like, 40 minutes or something.
That's incredible. I don't believe it. Did you see Batman versus Superman?
I didn't go fucking near it, man.
You didn't go near it? You're so right. No.
Jurassic, the new one.
Jurassic.
What did you say?
Batman Superman.
I don't know why I heard Jurassic Park.
Jurassic World.
And I was reading Carrie Fisher's name. I was like,
Jurassic Park versus Superman.
Oh my god, make it happen.
I'd watch that.
It'd be decent.
Yeah.
They kill off the T-Rex, but then at the end, you've not seen it, so this is going to make no point.
But then
no point.
The T-Rex's mom is the same name as Batman and Superman's mom. Yep. So then,
Martha Rex.
That's the twist in Batman versus Superman.
So fucking stupid.
They stop fighting when they realize their moms have the same name. Is it? That's legit. Yeah.
They're both named Martha.
I think I tried to watch it on a plane once, like a long haul flight. And I made the decision that watching the back of the chair blank was more.
Yeah.
I just meditating on the back of the chair. Awful stuff.
Horrific. And the trailer for Justice League looks all right.
Oh, it doesn't.
I think I've just set my expectations so low.
Yeah. Well,
and
you
also,
liked.
I like Man of Steel. Yeah.
And you're so wrong. Like you're demonstrably incorrect.
It was fine. Better than Batman v Superman.
It was atrocious.
I saw it after going to the Game of Thrones exhibition in Belfast, which was dog shit. So it was like, at least made some of his trip.
Me and Donna roared laughing through the entirety of Man of Steel. Like we couldn't stop. We were pissing ourselves.
Was in Max Landis talk about Man of Steel?
No, I don't think so. No.
He makes a good point that you know, in Man of Steel, a city gets destroyed, like engulfed in flame, like Metropolis. And the only thing that was, you know, Superman could kill anyone.
Mm-hmm.
And Superman doesn't have a creed like Batman does. Mm-hmm. His creed is just to protect the people.
Yeah.
So Max Landis said that film should have been over very early on because Superman would have just killed the threat to save the people.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he doesn't have, you know, it's wrong that he would have let a city burn and then... At the end,
well, that's
saved
to be
a
fair,
few people.
Feel like he's like, I have to kill.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. yeah. He
that's
just
the setup
thinking,
in.
He's a fucking alien.
That's kind of the setup in when it's probably the best part of Superman, Batman versus Superman, is the very, very start is Ben Affleck running around while the fight between Superman and Zod is going on, and the city's crumbling and falling apart, and he's like, "Fuck this dude, he's shitty," and that's sort of the start of it. And I like that, but it was definitely like, because there was a huge reaction, obviously, online about Superman being, you know, the opposite of everything Superman is in the comics.
But it's the same with Batman, though, in Batman v Superman. Batman just kills dudes.
He kills
left
dudes
and
left
right,
and right. Yeah.
Which is the
He's
opposite
got a shotgun,
of
right?
Yeah, and the new Batmobile just has shit tons of guns on it.
Yeah.
Like, this isn't.
There's a point where they do a grappling hook behind the Batmobile, and then he just like shoots it into another car full of gangsters, and then just drags it behind him,
liquefies everyone within,
pinballing from road to road, like just liquefying the people inside it. And he's like, "I'm Batman. I don't kill."
Why did you say that name?
It's so bad.
It's really, really bad. And the man, the Amy Adams thing of Throne. I know we've talked about this before, but in Man of Steel, like Amy Adams, her, as Lois Lane, her entire arc is she finds the spear with kryptonite at the end that I think Batman's made to kill Superman. She finds it, so she throws it in like a big deep puddle. And she's like, "That'll be that. I've resolved that issue."
Yeah.
And she runs away. And then she's like, "Oh, wait, we need that spear with kryptonite on it." So she dives into the big puddle to try and fetch it. And then she drowns, and like Superman has to come and save her, and that's everything she does in the entire film. Dear. Like creating her own problem and then drowning from it. It's atrocious.
World's greatest detective loses his own fucking spear.
Yeah.
I'm a reporter. Whoa! Where'd I put it? Where is it?
And also, the soundtrack is dog shit. Just to tie it up, every time Wonder Woman walks on screen,
so funny.
She's got like this wailing guitar. No, but. Every single time she's on screen, it's so annoying. You're like, we get it. We know who she is.
Yeah. Just give her the spear halfway through when the film's over.
As a little nod to the fans, we'll play her theme song every time she walks on screen so they'll know that's Wonder Woman. That's just for the fans, though.
Yeah. Did you see Sucker Punch? The Zack Snyder
the Snyder Festival.
I have mixed feelings about Sucker Punch that we've talked about on the show previously, so we won't go into it again, but... It's worth a watch.
Is it Zack Snyder?
Well, no, but you know, like it's as a pure experience. I'd be interested to hear what you think about it because it's definitely shit. Like, it's definitely massively exploitative and massively shit. But I think there's some clever stuff going on somewhere. It's just buried beneath mounds and mounds of
Schneider.
Yeah,
pure Schneider. His Dawn of Schneider.
His Dawn of the Dead was fun.
Not Schneider.
No, pure Schneider left.
Schneider comes in heaps.
Social Network's got a great soundtrack.
Yeah, that's true.
Oh, it does actually.
Trent Reznor and Atticus Ross.
Mm. Yeah.
I watched that recently. That's a fucking fantastic film all around.
What's the James Brown track in Django actually? You know the one that's the Payback?
It's yes.
Is it the Payback?
When it's in Django, it's mixed with a Tupac song.
Yeah. Oh, is that what that is? That's lovely.
Yeah, that's
very good. I like that one.
No one's ever described either Tupac or James Brown as lovely.
Yeah.
James Brown is not a lovely man.
Nah, shooting his wife. It was an accident.
Have you seen that interview of him when he's high?
Oh my god.
Oh, he's just coked off his tits.
He's talking about he just got out beating his wife with an iron bar or something, got off on some fucking thing.
I feel good.
Yeah. He just shouts song titles at her.
Oh yeah.
It's like one of those little like
living in America.
Yeah. There's like the toy of him.
You find me. I just wait.
You press a button and he just says a sound bite.
Yeah.
Like, one of those. Soundboard.
Yeah. But yeah, he's out of his tits like. Ah, oh, James Brown.
Get above that thing.
Papa got brand new bag.
I saw him when I was very, very young at Oxygen. First Oxygen I went to. He did it 2 years in a row. And the first one was like a real... And I cried. Like, I cried watching him.
The second year, he played after The Who.
Yeah.
And it was my first Oxygen. And I was like, I'm so tired. And I went to Oxygen, like, for Chili Peppers and Who. I was like, oh, James Brown's been here the last few years. He'll be here next year. I'll see him then. Come Christmas, dead. I was like, bollocks.
And the difference in his performance from the year before was incredible as well.
You were like, nah, this man's got 6 months.
Yeah, he wasn't looking well now, to be fair. Although, to be fair, one of the lenses of my glasses had fallen out, and I didn't have like a glasses repair kit, like the screw from the side of it had gone. So I only had one lens in my glasses, and then I had to put the other one in my bag. So then because I had to keep one eye closed because I couldn't see. So I spent the rest of the weekend with like an Avril Lavigne style plaid tie tied around my face across one eyeball.
Just Lord of the Flies.
So that I could see properly.
Like Pudsey.
Oh my God, people, exactly like Pudsey. People looked at me like I was the biggest psychopath in the world. Like,
say there were worse sights at Oxygen.
Say so. There's some grim lads at Oxford.
Yeah.
On the scheme of things, I'd say that's fairly low down. Yeah.
They're rough lads at Oxygen.
But a personal defeat, anyway.
There's always everyone at Oxygen runs into one lad who has like prick written across his forehead, like dying in the mud, just like reaching for you like a fucking walker from The Walking Dead. Like help
like the,
me.
Like
the swamps in Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly.
Yeah, follow the lights.
Yeah. Sam Sweeney asks, what scene do you hate from a film that you love?
That banging scene from Watchmen is a perfectly appropriate example.
Do you claim to love Watchmen?
I really like Watchmen. Yeah.
Okay. I haven't seen it.
There's a scene at the end of... Have you seen Zodiac?
Yeah.
Zodiac's one of my favorite.
Scene in like the... Is it a pharmacy where he looks at the dude and then...
That's brilliant. Mm-hmm. Okay. And that should have been the end. There's a fucking scene on the end where they bring in one of the suspects and the scene in the pharmacy is where Jake Gyllenhaal's character goes in to confront just for himself. The investigation's dead.
It's superfluous. It's like...
And they've got fucking Baker Street playing on the soundtrack because it's a Sherlock Holmes moment. It's very, very good.
Yeah.
And he locks eyes with him and he kind of looks at him. The guy knows and he knows and he just goes, okay. And he leaves. And then there's another scene
that's just not needed.
Which is like one of the victims pointing him out in a lineup. And it actually happened and I don't know... You know, it was taken from real life.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Like a lot of the film was. And I just don't know why it's there because the narrative arc was complete. Exactly.
It's become redundant.
And for Jake Gyllenhaal's character, it doesn't matter if he's closed that off. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter if he's the killer or not as such. And he definitely wasn't or was either way. So that it's a sad way to end it, but it doesn't diminish the overall thing.
I haven't seen it, but
it's really good.
Zoe Bowie, is it? Is it Duncan Jones?
No,
Fincher.
Fincher, sorry. Yeah.
It's the Finch.
Source Code, was that?
That's Duncan
Jones.
That's
what I was thinking, I'm sorry.
Gyllenhaal again, isn't it?
Jerky.
You got any movies that you've got a crappy scene in?
God, I can't think. I cannot think, man. I enjoyed Southpaw a lot. Also, Jakey. Jakey does some good roles.
Jakey boy.
Love Jakey.
Jakey's got a good.
But it has some hammy.
Here's slightly one for hammy. You know, I both love and hate this scene. Did you ever see Caché, the Michael Haneke film?
Yep.
You know the very, very last shot where it's like a big crowd scene?
Yep.
And you may, if you're watching it on a big enough screen, be able to pick out a narrative thing that happens between two characters amongst this huge crowd that are leaving a school.
Yeah.
And lots of people did not get it, did not see it. And I love the balls of that. Like there's huge, throbbing Austrian balls to even attempt that. But, partially that wrecks my head because unless you're watching it on unless you're watching it how it was intended to be watched upon initial release, that's lost on you. I showed that on... Yeah,
Tommy, we watched that in college.
Yeah,
Caché. And
I taught
Tommy
that
had
in college.
Had bought it from HMV, and we stuck it on one night. Two of us were I don't know, maybe 20 years old, and we were both so appalled with the film that Tommy took it out of the Blu-ray and just cracked the disc and just flung it across the room.
Actually, do you know what I tried to watch a while ago just for the sheer crack, of which there was none, I discovered soon was the remake of Ben-Hur.
Oh, God bless you for giving that a go.
Good Lord.
I don't know anyone Jesus who's Christ. Even considered it.
The first
such tribe I have never seen. My God, I couldn't get 20 minutes in, man. It's shocking. Morgan Freeman's in it.
With dreads, no less.
Yeah, is he? Yeah. Absolutely. Just
who is Ben Hur in it?
Couldn't tell you, man.
Just
some fucko, some talentless fucko.
Is it like that guy who was in Avatar and he got some role in the Titans movie?
That's Sam Worthington.
Yeah.
Is it? No, he's not in it. No.
Is it the new Sam Worthington?
Because he's seen Skarsgård. Because there's Skarsgård's everywhere now.
Oh, is there?
Yeah. It just seems to
they're breeding.
Be popping up everywhere. Right.
Rob, any movies with shite scenes?
No, I can't think of any off the top of the dome.
What's your least favorite scene in Star Wars?
Oh, all of them?
Attack all
the
of
Clones
the scenes.
Really, start to finish isn't great. Yeah. But there's that bullshit, I hate sand.
Well, you could take the midichlorian section out of Phantom Menace.
I don't really mind that.
Fair enough.
I'm a Lucas apologist. Yeah, a lot of the bullshit kind of like romance scenes in Attack of the Clones are just so unnecessary. That film could have been half an hour long and it would have been fine.
Have you seen Power Rangers?
No.
Nope.
Nor am I keen to, I must say.
It's pretty fun.
It's the, it's the second week in a row where David's throwing that out too.
What Power Rangers, you guys?
Anybody?
No one has seen Power Rangers.
It's all right. That's fine. It's fun.
I don't think there's definitely, as soon as I leave here, there'll be a thousand bits where I was like, yeah, oh, if they just change that, that'll be a lot better. But I can't remember now.
For the I'm like, oh, what movies have I even seen? Like, it's, I'm just blanking hard on them.
I've never watched a movie in
What's
my life.
What's a film? Anon asks, have you seen 13 Reasons Why on Netflix yet?
I have not. Have you seen it?
Nope.
No.
No. No, sir.
No.
Everyone's talking about it.
Girl who kills herself leads 13 tapes, is that
Seems
right?
Seems to be it, yeah.
Ah, come here.
It's
you're grand.
So
I think so. Sounds a little gimmicky, doesn't it?
I saw a tweet that was just like, all right, lads, calm it down. Yeah, you've seen 13 Reasons Why. It doesn't make you brezzy.
Let's go for a walk, you guys.
Yeah.
Did you ever see The Virgin Suicides?
Yeah.
What did you think of The Virgin Suicides?
Saw it a long, long time ago.
Yeah,
I have
too,
to reassess
yeah.
it, but I imagine I think of it what I think of most of
Sofia Coppola's
output.
Work. God, she's shite.
She did Lost in Translation.
She did.
Yeah. I really liked it. I haven't seen that she's done.
Yeah, Lost in Translation is her best work.
Yeah, yeah.
With the possible exception of being a baby in Godfather 2.
She peaked.
She peaked early, man.
The communion scene. She peaked real, or the baptism even. I'm trying to get Donna to watch Godfather because she's never seen The Godfather. I'm trying to get her to watch it every single night. Like, I pitch it, shot down every single
night. So you're
night.
Trying to get her to watch it, you know, concur like every single night?
No, I'm just trying to get her to watch
it
one
again,
time. And yeah, and that's like Project Runway's on. All right, there we go.
I just remember I used to have just on Virgin Suicides, I've never seen it, but Air did the soundtrack.
That's true.
When I was a teenager, a friend of mine gave me like a CDR of the album. I was putting it on. I was listening to it. I was going to sleep. I fell asleep, and then I just woke up, also having no idea what the movie was about, regardless of title, to just this deep-voiced man talking about people killing themselves. So I just woke up in my room in the dark. It was like 14, 15, and just this man's voice talking about girls killing themselves. And
there's
it scared the fucking shit out of me.
There's
it was terrifying.
A lot of the opening scene in Virgin Suicides is, why did you try and kill yourself? Obviously, Doctor, you've never been a 13-year-old girl. And I remember, I'm sure if I revisited now, I'd probably have a great deal more empathy for the entire situation and the narrative. But watching it in college, I was like, fuck ye. Not watching this shite.
Yeah.
She made Marie Antoinette then, didn't she?
She did, yeah. Hated that as well.
No, nothing
hated
about
that
it.
As well. She's wearing cons. Stupid.
What?
Yeah, Marie Antoinette's wearing cons in the film.
Is it not? What?
Literally.
Pink ones, yeah. It's fucking nonsense.
But is it awful. Not set?
Yeah.
What?
It's shite. It's fucking...
What?
Look
Nothing
how
makes
cool.
sense.
Yeah. No, they thought it was... That was one of the great ones, you know, and then audiences in Cannes, if they don't like something...
They'll leave.
They will boo the
fuck out
of you. And that,
that was
film
one of them.
Got, like, booed like no film has ever been booed before. Anyway, so there you go. Yeah, cut that scene out of Marie Antoinette where she's wearing cons. There you go.
Marie Anachronism.
Hey.
Very good. Lovely piece of business. I haven't seen 13 Reasons Why, but I started watching Five Came Back. You seen Five Came Back?
Nope.
I think you'd really enjoy Five Came Back. It's you never heard of it? It's just brand new to Netflix. Came out last week or this week. And it's a documentary series, sort of Ken Burns style documentary.
I love what Ken Loach documentary.
Ken Loach documentary. No, Ken Burns style documentary about George Stevens and John Ford and who else? Frank Capra and who else is in it? But five hugely influential, famous film directors who it basically chronicles their time making propaganda films for America during the Second World War. And it's incredible. And it's all these interviews with, like, it's sort of talked through with by, like, Spielberg and Guillermo del Toro and Paul Greengrass and a bunch of other, Francis Ford Coppola, right? And it's narrated by Meryl Streep. And it's really, really good. And you should absolutely check
Sweet,
it out. It's
that
really,
sounds
really
great.
It's very, very interesting. I love John Ford as well. He's top lad.
I love John Ford as a character. Like
John Ford, he's like one of those. He's like Sam Peckinpah and
Hemingway, like
Houston.
He's like a pure Hemingway character.
Eye patch on him. Yeah, telling the studio to go fuck themselves every single hour.
Yeah, yeah, love it. Like he's incredible. It's totally worth checking out.
What was that? Was it Out of Africa? Is that Houston? Or African Queen?
He made one where he just wanted to go and shoot an elephant. Africa. The African Queen.
Yeah. And the
he just did that because he was like, I fancy shooting. Like,
he just wanted to shoot an elephant.
Yeah.
Because him and the lead just drank whiskey the whole time. And I can't remember the actress time. And she was disgusted by this.
It was Catherine Hepburn, wasn't it?
Yeah. So she just drank water. And she thought these people were the worst. Uh-huh. And then she just got dysentery. And the two lads are grand.
There's a whole section in it of in the very first, because they're 3-hour-long episodes, right? But the first one follows Frank Capra's Why We Fight and John Ford's The Battle of Midway.
Mm-hmm.
And he was told, like, because John Ford sort of set up the whole idea. He was like, all right, he set up a naval regiment in his Hollywood studio. And like had fake costumes and stuff, and had like lads, cameramen running around practicing to being in war and stuff. Anyway, he was sent to Midway, the island in the Pacific, to film flora and fauna by the Navy. And he was like, "All right, I'm gonna go film some birds and stuff." And then you see the showreel footage that he had shot of birds rocking around Midway.
Right, yeah.
And then once he gets there, he gets a call from the Navy being like, "Oh yeah, and just so you know, the Japanese are attacking, so film that as well." And it's incredible. Like, he films unbelievable footage, but there's a point in it where, like, you can see the moment when he gets a bunch of shrapnel in the face, like from behind the camera. Whoa. It's incredible. Like, it's really, really good. And then Frank Capra's thing. Have you ever seen Why We Fight? Really classic. It's like, I think it's what people think of when they think of American propaganda, the Second World War. He wanted to do like this. They was like, we need a video to show the boys. Well, we're training them up and going to fight the war, and you can't lie to them. Don't lie to the boys. So he was like, all right, we'll make. So he proposed the 7-part series called Why We Fight, and was like, had all these great ideas. And then they were told, like, okay, you have a budget of like $2. Go make this film. And he was like, oh, I can't do any of the things he planned to do. And then simultaneously, he went to a screening of The Triumph of the Will in New York and came out being like, oh, we're fucked. Like, we're going to lose the war. And had no budget in any way to make anything even remotely comparable. So he had the really genius idea of just taking all of the German and Italian propaganda and just re-editing it, doing what David Wrightley described as a soupy Norman on it. You ever seen Soupy Norman?
Yeah.
So he just does a soupy Norman with trying to the will and stuff. And just, you know, Hitler's going mad and he's just like, look at him, he's a clown. Like, all this sort of stuff. It's great. It's really, really good. But yeah, it's totally worth checking out.
Sweet. Sounds good.
Five Came Home. There you go. Five Came Back. That as well. I think there is a film called Five Came Home as well.
The 1939. Lucille Ball.
There you go now. Jesus, where is that? Anyway, I've had a lot of fun. I really hope the listener has as well. Have you guys enjoyed yourself?
Very much so.
Thanks, man.
Always check out Patrick's fantastic feature, Darkness on the Edge of Town, as well as all of the various work Alex Ryan here has done with my brother and otherwise. But the EP Fire, genuinely, really, really incredible. Go and check it out. Thanks very much for being here, lads.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us, man.
Alex and Patrick, thank you very much. On behalf of the King DDD to our Kirby, Mr. Rob O'Sullivan, the engineer of Sentinel Audio Productions.
Goodbye, everybody.
Smash Brothers theme today, inadvertently. Nice. On behalf of the co-host of the show, who almost couldn't be here today because, what was it? You were
confessing to where the bodies are buried.
That was
Curious Cat.
Mr. David Riley.
Goodbye, folks.
My name's John Hosier Byrne. Thank you very, very much for listening. Good night. This episode of the Stoneface Films podcast was brought to you by the lovely people over at our Patreon page, which is at patreon.com/StonefaceFilms. I believe, Rob, is that correct?
There is.
Excellent stuff. Thank you so much to Anna, Mandy Taylor, Fionn, Terry Peterson, Therese Smout, McMatts, who also did our Dynamite logo, which we love loads and loads and loads, and some of you received in t-shirt form recently. Laura Conway and Rebecca Hiriami, the top lads. Also, huge thank you to the Ensigns on the
USS Best Friends, Megan Noble, Lucy Wilkerson, Jamie Pomerleau, Jess Angell, Charles C. Kirkman, and Sam Sweeney say a triple S. Thank you again to the Knights of the Sainsbury's car park, Alice and Sir Lard Flames. Lard Flames, as mysterious as always, as well as your small council, Rob. Rob King the Hand there, Luke Bruton, Shelley Umla, and Dawn Smith, all of whom are charming, nice people. Finally, thank you to our stars of the constellation Aldrin's Mickey, our Kings of Kings, John Oldman Byrne, Lizzie, and of course, a huge thank you to the people who choose not to be named. We know who you are, and we like you. Thank you so much for your continued support. We love you all. Night, night.
You've been listening to the Stoneface Films podcast, hosted by John Hosier Byrne, David Riley, and Rob O'Sullivan. The show is produced by Rob O'Sullivan of Sentinel Audio Productions. You can find out more about the show, our companies, and upcoming podcasts at stonefacefilms.com and at sentinelaudio.com. Our opening theme is by Lazy Itis, and all other music is by the Cooper Church Amendment. You can get involved in future shows by sending questions and messages to the Stoneface Films Twitter, at Stoneface Films. If you could take the time to rate and review the show on iTunes and Stitcher, we'd really appreciate it. We thank you all for your continued support of this podcast, and we'll talk to you next time. This show is part of the Sentinel Audio Podcast Network.